In today's episode, we're going to be talking about news coming out of Washington. The Pentagon and The Hill are making some headlines regarding UAP. We're also going to have a special guest, John Greenwald of the Black Vault, and talk about some FOIA documents he just received that are really interesting. You're going to want to hear this. And then finally, we're going to talk more about Enigma sightings. So we're going to look at something really strange, but we're also going to look at something that you can get educated on that looks strange, but is actually something mundane. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Open Mind UAP Radio. I am your host, Alejandro Rojas. I've been covering this topic for decades, many, many years, and I'm happy to be doing it again and bringing you the latest news and information and trying to frame and help you understand all the craziness going on. And craziness it is. In fact, let's get started. So our special guest is going to be John Greenwald of the Black Vault. He has some new documents that came out regarding the attempts that Arrow made to get David Grush, the whistleblower who claims that there's lots of kind of alien technology and things being hidden away. Grush also claimed that he wasn't being contacted by Arrow, so that's why he didn't talk to them. However, these documents show that perhaps that wasn't completely the case. So we'll go over that in just a minute with John. However, let's look at some of the other news. One of the things I've been talking about is the disillusionment by a lot of people that were interested in this topic in the mainstream and were kind of dipping their toes into this. And one of those is from a big podcast called Theory of Everything, Kurt Jaimungal. He has been dipping his toes in the topic, but he says no longer. And I just want to play this video for you.
So my last UFO interview, my last interview with a UFO bigwig was 8 months ago. And in part, the reason for the lack of frequency with this topic is because I've backed away. I've backed away. Why? Because I'm disappointed and I'm dismayed. So the reason is that there's always the promise of some tangible governmental or scientifically sanctioned data that's just around the corner. There was the rumor of 40 new whistleblowers coming forward. It never panned out, but even if it was 140, then it's the next question is, so what? Because there's only so much that talking can do. And I see acrimony developing in the people who are involved in the scene.
So there it is. And this is what I've been afraid of. And in fact, there has been a couple more articles coming out. SETI chief says U.S. has no evidence for alien technology. There was another astronomer in Texas who came out with an opinion piece along the lines. And we see a lot of people because there is this space now to question everything. And it's unfortunate. And we'll get more into that. Of course, I've been talking about it quite a bit because really it's kind of the baby going out with the bathwater. But, you know, unsubstantiated rumors are not what you study in science. You study data and information. And sure, there isn't a whole lot of data, but there is some. And it is unfortunate because I do agree with people who criticize the Last Arrow historical report in that when it got to the history of the real credible cases, you know, it was kind of weak on that side, but they were really forced to address all of these kind of alien conspiracies. So we'll get into that, but this kind of sets the scene for what happened yesterday, which was Arrow did another briefing for some of the House members in a SCIF. And remember, the House has kind of this UAP caucus that is mostly Republicans, but a couple Democrats that are part of this oversight committee, and they aren't briefed or aren't briefed on classified information like the armed services and the intelligence committees are, but they have been allowed to get in these SCIFs and get some kind of classified information on these projects. And here's what came of it. Here is Robert Garcia being interviewed by Ask a Poll. And I think it's, you know, Matt Laszlo is part of this. You really got to follow this site and Matt Laszlo because he is on the ground and making sure to do these interviews when they come out of the SCIF. Robert Garcia didn't say a whole lot. This is Robert Garcia Democrat out of California. He essentially was saying that we got to give Aero time, that we've got things set up in system and they're doing their job and they're doing the research and hopefully they'll find something. So he's essentially backing the Pentagon and what they're doing. Really, I'll go here first. The couple of other people, however, that have been more gung-ho are Timber Chet and Anna Paulina Luna. They have been kind of saying, you know, there's really something going on here, that there's a lot of secrecy and there's a conspiracy. They came out and they were kind of disappointed. They said, really, they didn't find out. Rep Luna called it a nothing burger. And then finally, we'll get into Burleson because he's a little bit more interesting in that he says, well, let's listen to him.
Again, my worldview has been very skeptical that this is extraterrestrial, and that remains. There's nothing that I learned today that, in fact, probably am more validated today.
So if you didn't hear him, he said, I've always been skeptical. I don't think there's an extraterrestrial, kind of side to all of this. And I came out of this meeting feeling more validated that that's indeed the case, which is really interesting coming from him because he has really been butting up with this UAP caucus and especially Burchett and Luna. So it seems like he's been moving towards this idea that there is this big conspiracy, although early on he said he thought it was just really high-tech American technology. So now he's back to, yeah, he doesn't think there's an ET component to this. And when we talked to our special guest today, John Greenwald, some of the information that he came across is probably part of why he feels that way. There are a couple other reasons, too, that we're going to check in the news here, why they may feel that way. But, you know, it's just things are definitely cooling down. But they're not cooling down for Steven Spielberg, which is exciting. I do a lecture on Spielberg called Spielberg the Ufologist, where I kind of cover his interest in this topic. But he's going to be doing a new movie, and it's going to be based on his idea of what's going on with this phenomena, which is great. He's done this before, of course, with Close Encounters. That's this scene is from that you see here in this picture. Close Encounters, absolutely one of my favorite movies. Dr. J. Allen Hynek, who was a scientist, a consultant for the Air Force on this topic, was involved with that as a consultant. And he even has a little cameo. Maybe I'll pop it in right here during the movie.
Harry Ward Craig, Captain, United States Navy, 043-431.
Captain, would you come right
there? I'm very excited about this. There's another show, too, that's not as well known, a miniseries called Taken that he did, which was several episodes, which even gets more into alien abduction and Roswell and everything that kind of covers the mythos with his spin on it, which is really interesting. So Steven Spielberg is doubling down on UFOs, which is good to see. Another piece of news that is probably causing concern with others like Kurt, who kind of invested a lot in some of these allegations that were coming out, is the release of this document called about the Kona Blue Project. The first document here is kind of their story, where really Aero said that they were hearing from witnesses that there was a program that had to do with crashed UAP and studying UAP material. They looked into it and they found this program called Kona Blue. It turned out that it wasn't a program that was established. It was a proposed potential program. And then further, when they looked into it, they saw it was associated with the OSAP group, those same guys who I've been talking about, who kind of were part of Skinwalker and doing a lot of paranormal investigation. That's where that $22 million actually went to, that the New York Times wrote about in December, although they claimed it just went to a UFO program called ATIP. That wasn't the case. And to add more confusion, ATIP, the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, was a nickname for OSAP, which was the Advanced Aerospace Weapon System Application Program, really so people wouldn't get the real name out there. Eventually, however, ATIP became the name of at least the program, or at least the self-initiated effort by Lou Elizondo and other intelligence officers looking into these portfolios of UAP cases. I can't say it's a program or a project that was officially a program or project because we don't have any paperwork that backs that up. But certainly there was a group of people that were doing this, and it was known that they were doing this. I don't really see a problem with that. I think that's great, in fact, because we got some really great Navy cases from it. However, like I've talked about, this Bigelow group that was contracted with OSAP, they they do all of this paranormal stuff. So they talked about how there was a proposal. Eventually, the proposal got denied because there was nothing really tangible that they could get from this project. They also mentioned that there were supposed to be alleged anomalous materials that were part of this project that were supposed to be given over for research that never happened. So the program was closed. They also give us a proposal here that we can look at. And as you would think from kind of this group of people, it gets pretty weird. One of the weirdest parts that is in here is something they wanted to create called the Consciousness Center. And this was to collect critical data using remote sensing in order to determine the activity and purpose of the advanced technology, especially any threat posed. Remote sensing is another term for remote viewing, which is a project that Hal Puthoff, who was one of the members of the Bigelow and the OSEP group, had started back in the 70s, where they were really using psychic abilities, alleged psychic abilities, to look for information and help law enforcement out. The program actually did go for a few years. Through Open Minds, I did interview Joe McGonigal, one of the primary remote viewers. He said he was accurate 20% of the time. I was shocked because I didn't think that was a very high number. But his point was, well, if you're working a cold case, 20% is better than nothing. And I guess he had a point there. But you can see how it would be difficult for the Pentagon to accept a project where you're using psychic ability to kind of look for UFOs here. So this just didn't pan out, but you can read more about it on the Arrow website. So that's the news that's going on for the week. I just hope that before a lot of these very credible and capable people who work in the mainstream can have some patience and kind of take a step back, because really those of us who are longtime researchers, it's not really our fault you went down that rabbit hole, and maybe you were just talking to the wrong people. And I don't mean to say that there's nothing there down that rabbit hole, but we don't really have a reason to jump down there yet. We're still gathering information and we're still gathering data, and we want to follow that data. And you can't shortcut science by just making proclamations without demonstrating, you know, any substantial evidence to substantiate, you know, what your claims are. Anecdotal information, and I think this is where we've got a real kind of problem with a lot of people in the field and why people are so frustrated with groups like Arrow. When NASA and Arrow come out and say, we have no evidence that UAP are associated with aliens or non-human biologics, it's true in the sense of science and hard data. But what a lot of these people are saying, well, we have an abundance of anecdotal evidence. And isn't that evidence? And it is in some cases, but it's not really in science. Anecdotal evidence will point you in the right direction, but it won't get you where you need to go. And I would argue that you can't lean too heavily on anecdotal information, especially when it comes to this sort of thing, because just like we do on this show every week, where we're kind of debunking a UFO sighting, but also looking at one that I can't explain, there are a lot of mistaken identities out there. And the human body is not the best sensor system. It can't record data to relay it. And human memory is very, very fallible. And so we just need better data. And we can get better data. So we can't give up. Just because it's difficult to do doesn't mean we shouldn't do it. It should mean we double down on it, because if no one else is going to do it and we do it, then we'll make those amazing discoveries on our own. And that's what I hope to do. And like I said, I've got some projects underway. Ooh, my own top secret projects that I'll reveal to you soon, where I hope to help facilitate that. All right, so let's bring on my good buddy, John Greenwald. Welcome, Mr. Greenwald.
Thank you. It's good to be here, Alejandro. Good to see you. You look great.
Good to see you too. And just for the audience, especially those who might be new to the topic, maybe just kind of explain the Black Vault a little bit.
Sure. The nutshell version is that the Black Vault is something I started creating, about 27, 28 years ago, back in 1996. And really, it's modeled after what I was looking for as a curious teenage kid, but it didn't exist on the internet. And that was a place to get unrestricted access to government documents released through the Freedom of Information Act. UFOs is obviously one of the most popular topics on there, but I deal with pretty much every topic under the sun. And here we are nearly three decades later and about 3.3, almost 3.4 million pages. So it's getting pretty big, but that's in a nutshell what I do.
Yeah, that is extraordinary. And, you know, you're truly a FOIA expert, but you also keep an eye on the news and what's going on out there so you know where to look, which resulted in your big discovery that just came yesterday. Is that correct? And maybe tell us a little about it.
Yeah, so there was obviously a lot of speculation on whether or not David Grush was being contacted by Arrow, or if Arrow was contacting him, or who was talking to who. And a lot of people knock FOIA, but to be honest with you, FOIA is a very interesting tool, because I've never said that it would give you the smoking gun, but it offers a peek behind the curtain a little bit. It lets you see some things that wouldn't normally be seen to the normal public eye, and without the FOIA would probably never see the light of day. So I thought, okay, let's just settle this debate. You've got David Grush's version, you've got Sean Kirkpatrick's version. And so I filed a request last year for information related to the invitations that Arrow was sending to David Grush. And to my surprise, they released a package of information yesterday. And this was all about the attempts by Arrow to talk to David Grush and to get him in there on the record and have him talk about what he wants to tell. And it would be cleared for him to do so. And that's what a lot of this controversy has been, on whether or not Arrow is cleared to hear this information or not. And these documents really shed light on those contact attempts, how David Grush had reacted to some of those attempts, how in one case he even stood up Arrow representatives in a scheduled meeting and left them in the lobby for at least 30 minutes. That is something that he later apologized for. So I definitely want to make note of that. But I think that there was obviously some miscommunication, because David Grush wanted even more proof that Arrow was cleared to hear the information he had to share. And Arrow to David Grush anyway was not as forthcoming as he wanted them to be. So it's a really interesting peek behind that curtain to see how this all unfolded.
Mm-hmm. And I will, you'll see a bunch of tabs there. I'll share all those links with you guys. That was the news. But also, as John and I talk, we'll be talking about different events that have happened, and I'll put the links in the descriptions to that as well. Definitely go to John's website and check this out, though. A lot of really interesting information there. But to kind of also frame this a little bit is that we've had a few situations, and I'll go over the timeline. Maybe I'll just bring that up right now. Let's do it. Grush had claimed that he had not heard from Arrow when he was asked directly. And we didn't know whether that was true or not. Kirkpatrick had said he had been constantly trying to reach out to David Grush to get him to tell him his information. On the one hand, these documents do show what might be a legitimate concern of Grush's, and I'd love to hear your opinion on this, which is that he felt that Arrow might not be cleared for all of the information he had to share. And he also had said, I've already talked to the Inspector General, can't you just talk to them? But Kirkpatrick said there was some information they couldn't share, so that he would have to come directly. Do you think at some point that was a little bit of a valid concern that he had?
Absolutely. I mean, David Grush strikes me as someone that wants to adhere to his security clearance oaths, his non-disclosure agreements, if he's signed specific NDAs. But the bottom line is, he strikes me as someone that regardless if it is the security oath, security clearance, or an NDA or both, that he wants to adhere to that. And he wants to ensure that as he conveys this information to whatever party he's conveying it to, they are properly cleared and he's properly authorized to do so. So I think to a point, yeah, absolutely. It's a valid concern. It's a valid question. And it's something that to his credit, he was making sure that they could do. Now, with that said, they were telling David Grush, as revealed in these emails, you are cleared. You are authorized to share this information, and you are able to do this. To close the thought, I mean, I really don't think in a situation like this, you're going to get a government agency that is completely lying to you and giving you a game of charades to play some what kind of gotcha game to get him to go in there. He then spills this classified information and they go, aha, we gotcha. And then they prosecute him. I mean, that part doesn't make sense to me at all. So his concern is valid, but in the same respect, the DOD slash Arrow was addressing his concern. They said he was cleared. They set up the meeting. Look, congressional leadership, they're breathing down everybody's neck to get some answers here. This is obviously a congressionally mandated effort. It's funded. It's legitimate. It's not like this was, you know, a completely secretive effort where they're going, hey, why don't you come in and tell us your secrets? Mm-hmm. It's not about this. There's a lot of spotlight, and a very heavy one at that, on this effort. So I really do think that on both sides, you got to be very careful. But with that said, they're not going to just start lying to people to play gotcha.
Mm-hmm. And like you, I got to see the evidence, right? So I wasn't, you know, when Kirkpatrick said, you know, he had been communicating with Krush, I kind of felt he probably is accurate. I don't know for sure, but, you know, he's got a lot of eyes on him. He's got Congress watching him. He's got all these people breathing down his neck. He probably wouldn't, you know, say something that he couldn't prove, but you never know. You never know. He could have been lying. So as we go through this, even, there is some proof, but there is still some stuff that isn't substantiated, but still has some somewhat backing. So one of the first messages we see is between Kirkpatrick and an associate of Krush, where Kirkpatrick is saying, you know, can you please get a hold of this guy? And his associate said, well, Krush has those problems. He's not sure that you're cleared. So you got to go to the IG. So that's where it starts off. Then you have a section where Arrow was saying, here's what happened. Now, they can't support all of this, and I don't want to take their word for anything either. So they said between June 18th and, or the 8th and 13th of 2023, we had an intermediary where we're talking to, and that was in it trying to encourage Krush to talk to us. They said, you know, between the 12th and the 13th, there was another professional staff member that they spoke to, and they provided the text messages with that person, and that person is Chris Mellon, someone we know, have talked to quite a bit. He is a guy who is a former
Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence.
I need to write that down and have it right here because I always forget. It's a long one. But yeah, this is really interesting because there's a text between him and Chris Mellon where Chris Mellon's like, okay, I'll try to get a hold of him. He came back and says, you know, Krush says you could, you know how to get a hold of him if you want to. And Kirkpatrick says, well, I have to only connect with him through this secure mechanism, their website that they created. So if he could please go to that website and send me some information. But he's essentially saying, no, I don't want to do that. So at that 12th and 13th, they provided some evidence of that. They said there is more correspondence in late June. They did show more evidence of that, texting between people, more of the same kind of thing. Will you please come in? They know how to get a hold of me. I don't know if I'm secured, that sort of thing. But here's where it gets a little bit dicey. Because on July 26th, at those hearings on UAP and from the House group, which was the Committee on Oversight and Accountability, here is the discussion, and I'll show you guys the video of that right now.
Okay, on the 19th of April, Dr. Kirkpatrick, head of Arrow, had said that he did not find any evidence of UAPs. You also stated that you had, in your interview, that you had briefed him on information that you were uncovering, but that he did not follow up with you. Were the items that you divulged to him pertinent to national security?
Yes, him and I had a classified conversation in April 2022 before he took over Arrow in July 2022, and I provided him some concerns I had.
Do you know why he might not have followed up with you?
Unfortunately, I cannot read his mind. I wish he did. I was happy to give sage counsel to him on where to look when he took the helm of Arrow.
Krush says, unfortunately, I can't read his mind. I wish he did, implying that Kirkpatrick had not reached out to him, whereas we just saw a bunch of evidence where he had. I don't know why Krush didn't say they did reach out. I just wasn't sure if they're cleared to hear all of the information.
Yeah, this part confuses me as well, because you do have that public perception that Krush tried but was ignored, and you know, the Arrow's not reaching out to him. But now some more evidence comes out, these pieces of the puzzle that peek behind the curtain, tells you a different story. And I think that this should be addressed. I hope that it's addressed. As you and I chat right now, obviously it's still early, but you know, they haven't addressed it yet. So hopefully that will change, and maybe there's an easy explanation here. But yeah, what he said in Congress confused me, and then what he said later on to places like News Nation, where he said that he had no emails that were sent to him. That was in late October. Obviously, that was untrue. And he didn't say specifically Kirkpatrick. There are some people out there that are trying to spin that and say, well, technically, it wasn't until November that maybe Kirkpatrick got involved. Well, that's just the spin. The actual evidence is that David Grush said them, meaning Arrow. He wasn't referring to one person. And it's clear that through multiple individuals, Arrow was trying and they wanted him in there. And look, you may not trust Arrow. I'm not sure if they're on the up and up. I'm not here to swear to the high heaven that they are. But if that is the effort that Congress is backing, and that is what they are asking people like David Grush to go to, there has to be some level of attempt by those that want to be labeled a whistleblower to go speak to them. That you have to understand that if the position of the DOD states that they can receive Title 10 and Title 50 information, and they conveyed that to David Grush that they were cleared, there has to be some effort by the whistleblowers to accept that and to do it. And to go in there and testify. I'll say this, I'm not an attorney, so this isn't legal advice, but I will say with high confidence that any attorney, especially a former ICIG, would have a field day that if one of their clients went into a government agency that says, oh, we are totally cleared to hear this, and you go in and their client says something and then they're prosecuted, there is no attorney that has any knowledge about national security that would not take that case into the courts, because it wouldn't stand. And that's just based on the DOD in their position to David Grush. But then you add in an official statement position by the DOD that was given out by the press office that also stated and reinforced that Arrow could receive Title 10 and Title 50 umbrellaed information that was conveyed to Arrow. There is legal mumbo jumbo beyond that on Arrow being able to turn around and go to the CIA and start demanding Title 50 information. But that's different than them receiving information from somebody like David Grush. That's in an official statement. Those two things alone, what they told David Grush and the official position, it should be enough. But now you have even more evidence. In this FOIA release was a signed letter by a major general who heads the DOD's SAPCO office. And then you have another ODNI letter that is from the CAPCO office and director. So you look at those two letters, it further reinforces that Arrow is fully cleared to receive this information. So we can label Arrow anything that we want, but when it comes to the DOD stance that they're cleared to receive information, I'm sorry, all evidence points to, even to my surprise, because I wasn't expecting that, these two documents say that anybody with a signed NDA or anybody with a security clearance of top secret or below is fully authorized to go in and share their story. And so you have these two signed letters on top of the DOD position statement from the Public Affairs Office, on top of what they're telling David Grush. That's a lot of supporting evidence that whatever you want to label Arrow as, and it's fine to do so, when it comes to this issue, even to my surprise, it looks like they were absolutely cleared to hear everything that David Grush had to tell them.
Mm-hmm. I've got two major issues with this too, this right here. But on a side note, it is interesting that in the historical review that Arrow says they never even came across one NDA related to this topic.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised at the NDA talk as well. I mean, generally you have your security clearances. Usually NDAs more reside in the private sector. So, I can kind of see if they had signed something with a private contractor that they were working with, that the U.S. government can maybe then relinquish them from that if possible. But yeah, I was a little surprised at that talk, but hey, I've seen stranger things. Mm-hmm. But clearly Arrow didn't come across that. And nobody's really shown, I think, hardcore evidence that they have that NDA anyway. Yeah. I think that for me, in many instances, it just kind of seems more like a cop-out that they don't want to talk about something and they fall back on an NDA, but an NDA with who? And if any one of these individuals, I'm speaking broadly here, this is proof that if any of these individuals had an NDA with the U.S. government, this completely relinquishes them from that, and they're able to openly talk about it to Arrow.
Yeah. So, and the big point here is, even if he had that concern at this point, he should have said that, because the hard part is he's talking to Congress in a congressional hearing, And he's saying something that is not accurate. He's implying or just saying that he wasn't contacted when he was. So that's a major issue. That's concerning. But the other problem I have with this is Luna and this UAP caucus, because they do not educate themselves on this topic. Even in this hearing we're talking about, I feel like Burchett and Luna, who are the big pushers for this hearing, were the least informed. I was extremely impressed with how informed every other congressional member in that hearing was. They had great questions. But she says this: on the 19th of April, Dr. Kirkpatrick, head of Aero, had said that he did not find any evidence of UAP. That is absolutely false. And it's not that she's lying, I don't think. It's that she's uneducated on the topic. And it's really frustrating. In fact, here's what he said. He wants to say that we do need to better understand and respond to UAP. He says Congress and DOD do agree that UAP cannot remain unexamined or addressed. He does later go on to say, to state for the record, he has found no credible evidence thus far for extraterrestrial activity. But she's absolutely incorrect. And it's frustrating because they created and used the term UAP to try to demonstrate, you know, UAP is separate than alien technology. It could be that, but we don't know yet. We need to gather data. But she's obviously, I don't know, obviously that frustrates me.
It doesn't surprise me that politicians are uninformed, whether it be Congresswoman Luna or otherwise. I think they rely on staffers a lot that then don't have their name on something, so they're even more careless. I hate to say it that way. I'm sure politicians would disagree with me and that their staffers are the greatest and best, but you know, I think that really when it comes down to it, they're relying a lot on the internet. They're relying a lot on blogs, and you hear that in some of the line of questioning. You're right. Some were very well informed, while others are being fed that information. So they just throw it out there in hopes to be on the nightly news. To Tim Burchett's credit, I mean, he even said one time that, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but it was along the lines of, you know, maybe you guys are just putting me on TV too much or something to that respect. And he acknowledges that politicians, they like that, you know, and rightfully so. Keeps them in front of the voters. They get eyeballs, they get airtime, and politicians love that. So I don't want to take away from the value of having political interest and what that does in the halls of Congress, because that's very, very important. But you have to take into account that they're also politicians, that the fact checking may be a little bit more lax, because then if they support these headlines that get airtime, what happens? They're on TV, they're in front of voters, and they get the UFO vote. And I'm sorry, there's a lot of people, just look on X, that say they're voting for certain people just simply because of the UAP issue.
Well, you know? Today's news cycle is a great example, because the SCIF, you know, briefing that happened yesterday, we reviewed this in the news earlier. The news is picking up on Burchett, whereas Burleson comes out and says, you know, I'm skeptical now. You know, Robert Garcia comes out and says, hey, I'm cool with Aero doing their thing. Luna even calls it a nothing burger, but Burchett doubling down on this, you know, very sensational kind of verbiage is getting all the headlines today.
Yeah. And I think in some respect, you know, he may believe all that, and that's good. That's great for him. Good meaning that's his feelings. That's how he thinks. And that's okay. I've got nothing wrong with that. But I think when it comes down to it, those are the sexy headlines, because you do have a politician, a congressman who's coming out and he believes in those sorts of things, but we don't have anything to back it up or prove it yet. And you're right. Burleson then kind of came out on his own and said, my skepticism was kind of warranted here. And if I recall, he had a pretty interesting tweet about the government lying and later deleted it and took it offline. Why is that? I'm not really sure. Maybe they just don't want to be that accusatory. But clearly the interest is waning, and it's waning because there's a lot of talky talk, but there's really not a lot of show here.
Exactly.
And when you label, again, certain people whistleblowers, it's time to blow the whistle if the government is lying. And I fully support that, because even though I'm not an advocate for leaks or spilling classified information, I don't believe information about UAP, if it was connected to extraterrestrials and non-human technology, has a justifiable reason for classification. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, I fully support the blowing of the whistle to get this out into the open. So if there is information that is there, then start at Arrow. You have the full backing of at least a few congressmen and women that are willing to back you. So if you go into Arrow and you tell your story, and then they come out with that historical report and say, oh, there's no evidence of any of this, there are a lot of people that you can turn to that love those headlines, that love the spotlight, that will be right there to pick up where Arrow failed. And if they have to march into the Oval
Office,
then fine.
Right.
Yes, right. If they have that evidence, and assuming they could.
And I think what it's just people, the will to believe is so strong. And, you know, there was a place where we went from, you know, Navy videos, jet fighter pilots and their experiences. And then somehow we went off the deep end to more of this mythos that has been, you know, you and I have heard for decades that has been unsubstantiated for the entire time. And they just found, and this is just what I hear from a lot of people, is that, you know, sure enough, this mythos is unsubstantiated and it's starting to look bad. And to get a little bit further into the looking bad part here, I just wanted to get on the timeline and just that there was more conversation. So obviously after that briefing, Arrow tries to get a hold of him again. Essentially, it's the same back and forth conversation that was going on. Then we cut to October 31st, where there is a an off-camera media roundtable with Sean Kirkpatrick. And he is asked about Grush. That's Grush says you haven't contacted him. Why is that? Kirkpatrick says, well, we have been trying to contact him and he has declined to come forward. That's the day when Grush then texted News Nation and says, I have zero emails or calls from them. That is a lie, which is, again, frustrating because, no, this is a lie. Obviously, we have a lot of record where there was back and forth between them, but he's still on the air saying that there isn't, when all he really had to say was, I still just am not confident that they're privy to this classified information, because like we've been talking about, it wasn't until a month or four or so later that they really kind of confirmed him, look, here's a signed document, you can talk to them. Yeah. And that's when, you know, that they got stood up. But eek.
It doesn't look good. It really doesn't. And again, I think that these types of documents are paramount to understanding how it unfolds. I think it does reinforce the position of the government. Sorry, it just does. And if there's reason to refute this, that's when I encourage journalists that have covered this, like Ross Coulthard, like News Nation as a whole, that have done so many different stories on David Grush, that they build off these documents, you know, and although I've got a lot of haters out there, I'm open to my stories being built upon and them looking at these documents and taking the next step. And if it's shown that Kirkpatrick is lying, by the way, there's multiple allegations floating around social media that these emails aren't even real and that the government is fabricating them. Look, that's silly talk, but if, you know, stuff like that is even remotely close to being true, then take the next step. These journalists that are out there that keep talking about David Grush and keep doing the stories and this and that, they're not following up. Why aren't they pushing the Pentagon for answers? Why aren't they utilizing FOIA? What if they found something that completely verified Grush's claims, but nobody's trying? And that's what's really frustrating to me.
Well,
because then you come out with this.
Yeah.
I don't control what I get. I mean, it is what it is. So if people want to say that all of this is fabricated, whatever, but I come out with it and then, you know, you're crucified for it.
But that's
the journalists out there should be doing it.
My frustration, though, is when it comes to even Grush and that group, is they're not doing the hard work. And
yeah,
that's the whole problem, is that that hasn't happened. Science is hard, and you have to have you have to put all your information out there to be peer reviewed and to be beaten up by, you know, the community. But that's how the process works, and they won't work by that process. Instead, they make proclamations and say, oh, we have the evidence, but we're not going to share it with you. And
yeah,
you've made this point plenty of times. Why is it okay for them to do that? But it's not okay for, you know, the government to do that. And really, I think you and I are probably in agreement that neither side should be doing this. Both sides should be sharing their evidence.
Those that are demanding transparency the most are showing the least of it. Now, I'm here to say that the government is covering this up. They've lied before. They continue to do so. There's a huge cover up there. I believe that's proven with evidence. But those that are outside the government now, those that came from the government that want to preach about and demand their transparency, are being incredibly secretive. And a lot of people talk about the gatekeepers and the government this and that person that and Susan Goff here and Kirkpatrick there and how dare all they. Well, you look around at the claims that other people are making, that David Grush has the keys to the universe here and can prove it. But he's saying, well, I don't trust Dr. Kirkpatrick, so I'm not going to tell the one congressionally mandated effort my secrets. So then that question is, well, who does he want to tell? And we don't know. The documents show Kirkpatrick was the big roadblock. Well, Kirkpatrick's gone now. So since January, has David Grush gone in there? Has this changed at all? Or do we now have another excuse? Because I think it's clear at this point they can receive the information. We just talked about that. So I think that can be put to bed. A year ago, yeah, maybe there was a very reasonable reason to bring that up. But clearly that's been put to bed by multiple pieces of evidence. So now what is the holdup? Documents show Kirkpatrick. Well, Kirkpatrick's gone. So now what? So what problem do we have with Tim Phillips? What problem do we have with somewhere else? So we have to figure that out. But others are doing the same thing. They have information and they fall back on these NDAs. And they say, well, no, I can't tell anybody. Even journalists, not to point fingers here, I don't dislike Ross. I, in fact, like Ross. But Ross Coulthart says that he has the knowledge about a gigantic UFO that essentially had a big building put over it because it was too big to move, that somebody told him. So these people are going around telling journalists who are like Ross, that are conveying it on News Nation and on his online podcast and video show. You've got that, but they won't tell congressionally mandated efforts. Even if you don't trust them, at least walk that journey. Go do it, because you're not going to get in trouble. You're just not going to. There's too much supporting evidence that would allow an attorney to fight for you. So do that step. Show your willingness to fulfill congressional wishes that you do so. Because Gillibrand backed Kirkpatrick in the Arrow effort, and Gillibrand was a hero. Now she's not as vocal. And so a lot of people turned on her, which is really unfortunate.
Right.
So it's really, I think, telling that these NDAs get being falled back on. And now we have direct black and white evidence that NDAs specifically are not applicable when it comes to sharing information. So these reasons and excuses are being kind of put to rest one by one, but we still have no evidence being shown. And I think that that's telling, and it's very unfortunate.
And I want to make a point also is that I'm not here, and I know some people think this, that I'm like some kind of Kirkpatrick fan. In fact, I don't know that he has a fan club at all anywhere, really. Yeah. He's kind of an abrasive person, and this comes across in these letters. But, you know, what I am committed to is the truth, and it's frustrating when somebody is called a liar when they're not. And I don't see any evidence of him lying. I see some guy trying to figure all of this out. And what's amazing to me, he is really standing solid that UAP are a real thing and an important thing and they need to be investigated. Even when he retired, he made sure to make that point, despite all this heat that he's getting from UAP enthusiasts, let me say. So I appreciate that about him. And I love to see that he was being accurate in this. I don't like to see that Grush was not being accurate. I don't think he's a liar, although what he told Congress doesn't seem to be the total truth. I think Grush believes what he believes. I believe everybody does. It's just, how do we find the truth? And the arbiter really is science and research.
Yeah, and you're right. How do we? And unfortunately, we keep hitting these roadblocks that people have stories to tell. And going to my point about gatekeepers again, we, as in the general public, have to look at who the gatekeepers really are. Yeah, there are gatekeepers of secrets within the U.S. government, no doubt. But sadly, so are the people that are claiming to have all these stories, that are teasing books and op-eds and all that. I'm sorry, they're They're gatekeeping as well. And a lot of people don't want to look at that. So it's frustrating that both sides here are lacking transparency on nearly every level. And when it kind of gets to that point where it's their time to shine, if you want to be a whistleblower, then blow the whistle and nothing happens. What are we supposed to believe? And I think that that's why we're seeing a lot of people lose interest, not only in the general public. That's easily provable by Google Trends. You look at the trends about searches and how people are researching and what kind of news stories, and you've seen a sharp drop off on keywords related to this topic. But on top of that, in the halls of Congress as well, that you've got a dwindling number of congressional leaders that are talking about this issue. Some just kind of brush it off if they're asked in the halls of Congress. You still have a few surviving names that are really interested in it. But I think now you're falling on a personal interest. And mm-hmm. that dwindling effort, I would say, is kind of telling on how strong the evidence that they're hearing really is. Mm-hmm. If it was the opposite, to where they're hearing stuff in these skiffs that really resonated, you wouldn't have Burleson kind of doing a 180 on his interest. Mm-hmm. You would have more people coming around saying, hey, look, we can't reveal what was going on in the skiff, but that is something that we need to fund. This is something that we need to expand. And this is something that needs more scientific scrutiny. Mm-hmm. And we don't have that.
Yeah. To that point, I played that little clip from Theory of Everything that Kurt had put out, where he, I think you're familiar with it, said he was no longer covering this topic.
Yeah.
That was another, you know, a perfect example of that disillusionment that's happening, which is too bad, because people like him, and I hope to send a message to people like that, that there's still plenty to look at here. Mm-hmm. And people like myself, and especially John Greenwald and the Black Vault, are going to share the great information going forward. So stick with us, right? We'll figure this out.
I hope so. I hope mm-hmm. so. I will say this just in closing thought. It's unfortunate that the stuff that lacks that supporting evidence, whether it's true or not, is at the forefront of this. And I've said that for a couple of years now, and it's not popular to say, but I think this is the result of that everybody was putting their interest and their eggs all in one basket, and it's starting to fall apart. And arguably to some, it has fallen apart to where people are losing interest. I hope that people realize there are tons of cases outside of the government. There are tons of cases inside the government that come from the U.S. military. There are reams of documents and even photos and videos, obviously, that are still intriguing. It's not as sexy as some of this other stuff, but we have to focus on the stuff that we can prove. It's not about what you believe. It's about what you can prove. And I hope people realize that. I don't want people to lose interest. I know some people view me as a debunker skeptic, but I'm really not. It's quite the opposite. I feel that there's something here, and there's something that we need to scientifically scrutinize and get people involved in, private sector, and yeah, I hope government as well. I think that if they want to be transparent, cool, then let's find those efforts. But ultimately, it's going to come down to valid research and a scientific effort. And when you put all those eggs into one basket that lacks the evidence, this is the result. You have bad government reports, like that historical record that missed an awful lot. Is that their fault? Is that part of the cover-up? Or were they so inundated by these stories that lack the evidence that took up all their time and right. that took up their whole effort and it fell apart? I'm not sure which side it is, but either way it goes, it's not good. So I hope people do realize that there is something worthwhile here. May not be as sexy as some of the stories we hear on X or some cable news networks, but there's a lot of evidence there, and I hope people don't forget that.
Very well said. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And
my pleasure.
We'll definitely have you back because there's no doubt you're going to continue to break news over the coming months and years.
I appreciate that, Alejandro. It's good to see you again. Thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Speaking of data and gathering good data, it is now time for the Enigma UAPs of the week. We have partnered with Enigma Labs to bring you interesting UAP sightings weekly that they collect via their app and website. If you have a report to submit, you can download the app at the Apple Store or submit it via the website at enigmalabs.io. I've got links also in the description here. But in the interest of full disclosure, I am a paid consultant for Enigma, and that is how I can keep keep up to date on the best videos that we are getting. And I am very excited to show you today's video. So let's take a look here. Bring this up. All right. So, of course, the very first one, and unfortunately, I can't full screen it here. It won't show it correctly, but go to the link and go check it out yourself. As you can see, you can full screen them on the screen. Now, this is a video, and I will make it the whole screen so you can see that I think I know what it is. So this is the one that is known. This video was captured in the UK, so it's really fun. Hopefully you can hear the witness. So let's take a look. Sounds like it was late. You can hear some partying going on. So this, I think, is a classic Chinese lantern. And here's why. It looks orangish, reddish. There's a line of them. They're very spectacular to see. They twinkle because they're candles. They're essentially these balloons that are the air inside of them are heated by this candle. Because there's two Chinese lanterns together, because typically when people launch them, they launch more than one. So the telltale signs, there'll be a few of them, usually following each other in a trail. And just like in this video, and that's why I love it, they twinkle, they kind of fade in and out as the flame begins to come out. And then eventually the flame goes out and it disappears. So the first one we saw looks like it's already disappeared. Now, here's another telltale sign. As soon as these get about to the same area, they'll begin to disappear as well because all of the candles last about the same length of time. So there goes that one. And we've got a few seconds till this one goes. But yeah, this is what Chinese lanterns look like. They can look really spectacular. All right, and that one disappears as well. And just like any good UAP video, it's got a lot of cursing. Remember, UAP means not immediately identified. So this one, however, I was able to identify. So there we go. This one, I was able to identify it. However, the next one, I am not so sure. So this is an exciting one. You might have seen this online. However, I have some updates on it. And in fact, in the next day or two, we're going to be sharing even more analysis about this video. So this one's gotten somewhat popular. There was someone on Reddit who had posted this, who said their friend had captured this and that this was from Florida. And actually, that was not the case. Coast to Coast did pick that up. And so they had shown this on their radio show. And it got a little bit of attention there. Fortunately, because we are becoming pretty much our Enigma, the primary place for people to report their sightings, the witness posted it here. And we were able to be in communication with her. She was actually flying from Myrtle Beach. It's a mom, as you can hear, I'm referring to her. I won't reveal a whole lot of the details yet, but you'll get a lot more in the next coming days. But I'll show you this great video. So you probably saw that. Something goes shooting by as they're coming into New York. This lady likes to Instagram. So she's getting some footage of New York as she comes in for her Instagram post. She was a mom with a cheerleading squad. They were at some cheerleading event. So there's lots of moms and young women on the plane as well. But you could see something whips by. Whoa, what was that? She says, she didn't even really notice it. She kind of noticed a kind of shadow. So she looked at her video, and there you go. You see it there. But if we go one more, we'll get a close-up. And in fact, let me do this. Let me full screen this again so you guys can see it a little better. Again, the link's down there so you can go check it out. But let me describe it. I'm so sorry for the audio listeners, I don't know that I've been doing a good job, but essentially she's flying along and you see this black object just zip through very quickly. A great video too of the city below. And when in these freeze frames, you can see it's actually a round black object. So what the heck is that? Looking at it, there is, let's see if we could go to this picture. There's only a very little amount of motion blur. And what do I mean by that? A lot of times with these videos, when something's shooting by very quickly, it's a bird or a bug that looks elongated because as it's going through the camera, the aperture's open and it gets it as a streak while it closes because it's moving so fast. What's interesting about this is you can really tell it's a solid object. You don't have much blur except for the end. So if it's elongated, it's only slightly. And that's true of this image also. So it looks like a black round object. You can just see some reflection on the closest point there, just to the left. So what the heck is that? A drone? It doesn't look like a drone. I see no propellers or anything. A bug that is closer that could be, a little more motion blur. If that's a bug, that would have to be very close to the phone and inside the aircraft. And this doesn't look like to be in between her and the window. This looks like something beyond the window, at least past the wingtip. So what else could it be? There is something called a solar balloon. And these are almost like trash bag material that you fill with air, and they use them in schools, and the air gets heated, so it begins to float. That could be, but that's really high. And it's, of course, it's posing a danger if that's what it is. So really great case. Here's the video one more time where you just see the beautiful river there. And just something shoot by very quickly. And then we'll look at these stills again. Really cool. Let's read her description real quick as well. As I was flying home from Myrtle Beach, capturing videos of the city for my social media, I noticed a shadow came out of nowhere. And since I was recording, I knew to rewatch it to see what caused the shadow. A black object darted past at eye level, moving with remarkable speed. Although I couldn't discern its shape in real time, I managed to capture it on video. Upon reviewing the footage, I found myself baffled by the unidentified flying object, as its swift motion and mysterious appearance left me questioning what I had witnessed in the skies right next to my plane. So thank you so much to this witness. Again, you know, keep an eye on Enigma social media, because we will be sharing more about this sighting in the next couple days. It's an exciting one, and the witness is really great. So that'll be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Open Mind UAP News. If you have any questions, we've got contact information in the description. You'll also notice the website has been updated. It looks new and snazzy. It's got all the high-tech stuff associated with it. I would like to say that's the reason I changed the website, but I was actually forced to, because the theme I was using was outdated, so stuff was starting to break, so I was kind of forced to do it in the middle of the night, last night. So I hope you enjoyed it. I think it looks great. But other than that, you know, stay tuned. We've got some great guests scheduled. I do plan to stick to the bi-weekly schedule as best as possible, but actually, I was in New York last week and then felt a little under the weather, so that's why I had to delay. Otherwise, we'll have these bi-weekly going forward. But thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy your couple of weeks, and we'll see you next time.